precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence. I cried when far away from you my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now. God, I know I need you. My soul was hungry. I've been washed in the blood.
Grandfather in the house this morning. Amen. This week, it's hard to believe that we're saying this, but LC and Jordan Bennett have twins. And Carson, the little boy, weighed 6 pounds. Kinley, the little girl, weighed 6 pounds and 3 ounces. That's pretty close right there. And all are healthy. Everyone is great. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's a good God. We're so thankful for that. And Brother Larry, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And you'll notice that Brother Brian is not with us today. I imagine he's speaking somewhere. Maybe out on where I just left this morning, Douglasville, I believe. And so be much in prayer for him. And please pray for me. I believe the Lord's given me a message that I hope will be helpful to us all today, so I'd really appreciate your prayers. And let me give you a special prayer request this morning. We got a phone call just before choir practice this morning. Brother Brian called Brother Ceylon and said, please pray for David and Glenda. They're not here with us today because their son Brandon is at Kenistone. And that's really about all I know about it. I don't really know exactly what all is going on, but Brandon, I believe he's in pretty critical condition for whatever is going on. And we just want to lift them up in prayer today and ask God to be with them in a very special way. I'm glad to know that the Lord knows all about it. And we just want to lift up David and Glenda, and especially Brandon and the family, in prayer, and ask the Lord's will to be done in their life and His hand to be upon them. But again, it's great to see you today, and I'm thankful today that we have the help and the strength and a desire to be in His house. I'm going to ask you, Brother Larry, would you take us a Lord in word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service today and for what the Lord knows all about these prayer requests. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Choir, stand with me. Turn over to page number 139. Let's all stand and sing together this morning at Calvary. Everyone sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified.
Just a couple of announcements. Tonight, the service will be downstairs, 5 o'clock this evening in the fellowship hall. No choir practice this afternoon, but we will be getting kicked back off with choir practice in the very near future. We need to start working on some new songs and just doing some great things for God in this next coming year. The Lord's been good to us, amen? And we lean to Him and we seek Him. And we need to do that, especially in this next coming year. We need to pray that the Lord would send us a pastor. And we need to make that, I shared this morning, that we need to all make that a matter of prayer. Because the Lord knows who we need. He has a man that is set aside for us out there. And we just need to pray that we would find him and the Lord would send him our way. But we need to all make that a matter of prayer. Urgent prayer. Amen. And that would be something that we should pray daily about, and just ask the Lord to send us the pastor here at Calvary that we need. Also, COU, I believe, is next Sunday, 3:30 next Sunday. Ladies, please go ahead and mark that on your calendars for next Sunday, 3:30. So please remember that. Is there anything else, Brother Ceylon, I need to remember? I feel like I should be remembering something else. No? Miss Cassie, you got anything you want to share about the shoebox?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 22nd of this month, we'll be kicking the shoeboxes off. So anybody that would like to come, support us, be there, whatever, we'd love to have you guys. It starts at 1 o'clock on the 22nd.
All right. Miss Leon?
2 months to Jubilee.
I'm sorry?
2 months to Jubilee.
Okay. All right. Please remember that. And so we have a lot going on. A little bit of time to do it in. So please remember that, and God get the glory out of it all. But let's ask the Lord's blessing again on the service as well as on the offering this morning and the requests that have already been made known. Father, we love you and praise you, and Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to be back in your house this morning. Lord, I thank you for those that might be visiting with us today, and Lord, help them to know that they're special guests here at Calvary, and we pray, Lord, that you would touch them, make them feel at home here in your house today. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with these prayer requests. You know exactly what is needed. Lord, I pray that you'd just be in the service today. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to deliver the message in a way that you'd be pleased. Lord, I pray that you would now touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what's needed. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name. As I look back on all of my days, so many times and so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. Amen. God is good. Now there have been times that I've let him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of his hand, and he will give grace and help me to stand. And although he knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God. Thank you. We don't do this a lot, but we've got a couple of extra minutes this morning. And I wonder if somebody might just want to stand this morning and say, you know what, God's been so good to me, and I just got to praise. Anybody in the house this morning? Yeah. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Amen. Miss Sharon. Amen. Anyone else? Ms. Darlene? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Selah. Anyone else? Brother Harold? Brother Don? you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And we're going to be looking at just a few verses this morning, starting in verse number 19 of Matthew, chapter number 6. And I want to try and bring you a thought this morning on God owns it all. God owns it all. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And I want to look at verse number 21 as our text verse this morning, and it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God owns it all. I need you this morning, if you will, to kind of use your imagination with me for a few minutes. And I want you to picture yourself in an airport. Atlanta Airport would be a good one because it's always crowded there. Any of you who fly at all know how crowded it can be there. But this morning, I want you to go with me in your mind and just kind of picture yourself walking down through the airport. Of course, you got people sitting over here waiting on their flight and some sitting on the other side, and you know, a lot of conversation going on, probably a lot of those about football and things like that. And I mean, we are approaching now the championship. Our hearts of those of us who are Bulldog fans, our hearts are still somewhat broken, but we'll get over it. Other conversations going on, maybe about baseball and upcoming things with the Braves, and maybe people talking about holidays and how great their family get-togethers were for Christmas, and now here we are approaching New Year. A lot of conversation going on in the airport. And you got this one man that comes into the airport, and he's pulling his suitcase down through there, and he sets his suitcase next to this little table. And he thinks, you know what, while I'm here, I think it'd probably be a good idea, because you know how long you're going to have to wait, right? They tell you to be there at least 2 hours ahead of time for your flight. So he thinks, while I'm waiting, then I probably, you know how us guys are, probably a good time for a snack. So he goes over to this little coffee stand that's sitting there, and he gets himself a cup of coffee. Well, you can't have a cup of coffee that you don't have donuts. So he gets him a little bag of donuts. He's got his suitcase, and he set it down there beside this little table. And it's hard to find a newspaper. I just happened to go into Kroger this morning. There they were. I was actually going out the door. And I know now why I don't really seek newspapers very often anymore, because the first thing says, "Man charged with DUI, homicide, and a fatal crash." That's the kind of things we get at as a headline of newspapers, you know the side. You turn on the TV and listen to the news, and that's the kind of news we get. But this old guy, he's got his newspaper with him, and he's got his suitcase sitting there by the table. He's got himself his coffee, and he's got himself a little bag of donuts. And he sits down there at the table, and he opens up his newspaper, and he gets relaxed, and he's got his coffee sitting there. And the tables are kind of close together there in this little coffee shop there inside the airport. He gets his coffee cup and sets it aside there, and he starts looking at the paper. And he didn't really look up. He just reaches over and puts his hand down in a bag of donuts. And he gets himself one out, and he begins to eat the donut, drink the coffee, enjoy the paper. And he looks over, and there's a gentleman that's sitting pretty close to him, at the table next to him. And he notices that this guy reaches over and puts his hand in the bag of donuts and gets him one out. And he just smiles, and he's sitting there and he's eating that donut. And in this guy's mind, he's thinking, like you and I would, he's thinking, what in the world is he doing? He didn't say it out loud, but he said, what in the world is he thinking? The audacity, let's be real honest, we'd probably be thinking the audacity of this jerk that has reached over into the bag of donuts and taken one out, and he's sitting there eating it, he's just smiling. So what would we do? Same thing he did. He grabs a hold of that bag of donuts and he pulls it over to the edge of the table. He positions himself with his newspaper and kind of looks back at him like, I bet you won't do that again. He's sitting there reading his paper and he reaches over and grabs him a donut and he starts eating. And the other guy, Smiley, over there at the other table, he gets up and he walks over and he reaches across the guy and down into the bag of donuts and just smiling and reaches in and grabs him another one. So what would you do? Probably about the same thing he did. In his mind, he's thinking, hey, this here's fighting words. What I'd like to do is reach back and clobber him right in the kisser. What in the world is he thinking? Now twice he's reached over into the bag of donuts, got him one out, he's eating it, and just going along minding his own business. The man number one, he slams his paper down, and he's thinking, you know what? I might as well just kind of try and see if I can't get a hold of myself. Because it's for sure that this guy, as we would say it, this Smiley's got issues. Maybe he's got some mental problems. Maybe he's just not thinking right. So he gets his composure, he calms himself down, and he gets a hold and gets a little bit of peace, and he's sitting there. After old Smiley finishes eating his second donut, he stands up, brushes himself. Yeah, he got donut crumbs all over him, you know. Brushes himself off, reaches over and grabs a hold of his stuff, and he starts, and he looks at his watch, and he's thinking to himself, I need to go ahead and get to my flight. It's about time for departure. He walks away. First guy, he looks over at his watch and he thinks, well, it's probably about time for me to leave. I probably should go and get ready to catch my flight. He reaches over to where his luggage is sitting. And he looks down, newspaper in hand, already finished up his coffee. And on top of his luggage is a little bag of donuts that has never been opened. It was the donuts that he purchased, and he set them down on top of his luggage and never even placed them on the table. And he realized, uh-oh. Boy, I was thinking some things that was really ugly about that fellow when all along he was sharing his donuts with me. Now, how would that make you feel? You know, sometimes we just get it all mixed up. And, man, we can go, we used to call it going to Fist City in just a minute. We're ready to fight over things. We get stingy with what was never ours to begin with. Never even ours to begin with. You see, God owns all the donuts, so to speak. He owns it all. But when it's time for us to give, Brother Don, when it's time for us to tithe, when it's time for us to do what God wants us to do, we say, I remember when the kids were real little and we'd say, hey, you need to share. You need to share your toys or share what you've got. They'd say, mine. Don't we sometimes do that with God? When all along He owns all the donuts. But we are so, sometimes we just say, But, you know, if God wanted to, He could take all the donuts. But He's a good God. We've heard this morning how great God is. We sang a song about it. We had a dozen people stand up this morning and say, I just want to thank God for His blessings. God is a great God. And He just keeps blessing us. Has He been blessing you, Larry? He blesses us over and over and over. Let's stop for a few minutes this morning and just consider, if you will. Let's reflect on all that God has done for us. Brother Ceylon said, we don't have time. Brother Don said, it'd take 6 or 8 months for me to just stop and tell you how good God has been to me. And if we were to really be honest this morning, there's not a one of us in here that would say, God hadn't been good to me. Because He's been good to us all. He's an awesome God. He loves us. He gives to us. And He has been so good to us. Why, this morning, we all left our warm houses. I doubt any one of us in this room this morning slept under a bridge somewhere in a box. As a matter of fact, all of us left probably pretty nice homes. God's blessed us with a nice home. Got a roof over our head. We've got heat and air and electricity, mostly thanks to Larry. I went down this morning and I sat down and I was able to turn the lights on and sit down and look and study over the message this morning. So God's given me an opportunity to stand and share a message with you. And I'm thankful. God's been good. He blessed us with homes. But do you know that, and we get this idea that we've done all these great things. Is there anyone, unless you chose to, is there anyone that walked to church this morning? No. Most of us went and got in a fairly decent automobile. And they started right up. We was able to even reach over there and turn the heat on because it's a little chillier today than it was yesterday, did you notice? We may even get snow by the end of the week. Who knows? But we have been blessed. And I shared this morning in our Sunday school class. God has given us all these things, but He expects something also. He wants us to be a good steward of what He's blessed us with. My daddy always said it like this. He said, son, whatever God has blessed you with, you take care of it. Because you need to be a good steward of what God's given you. Take care of your stuff. Because it don't belong to you anyway. Remember, God owns it all. Be a good steward of the home. A good steward of what God has blessed you with. But one day, we will no longer need these things anymore. I had a dear friend that I got the phone call this week. I worked with her for years over at the sheriff's office. And she was just a delight to be around. Anytime you ever saw her, she had a big smile on her face. She would greet you with love. And she would say, boy, it's great to see you today. I love you. I'm praying for you. God bless you. And she always had this beautiful smile on her face. This week, like many of us, we go to bed and we get all snuggled up and warm in there in the covers. And this week she was all snuggled up and her husband got up a little early and he thought, well, where's Lisa? She's usually up by now. So he went in there to check and he said, Lisa, are you okay? Nothing. Reached over and shook her. He said, honey, are you all right? She didn't move. Oh, she moved. She moved okay. She left here and moved into a home in glory. I'm sure of that because of the life and the testimony and the witness that she was with her life. She moved. She moved out and went home to be with him. You never know what a day holds. You never know what a day holds. I shared with Amanda yesterday. I said, one of the grandkids has a birthday this weekend. We're going to try and get together this afternoon and spend time with them. And I said, I hope y'all can go. Because we need to spend more time with one another. We get so caught up in the things of this world. And it's a rat race. And everybody has everything going on. And one day we're going to look back and we're going to have to say, boy, I wish I had spent more time. Time is more important to us than things. We just need to spend more time. When we leave here for our heavenly home, everything we've got here is going to go somewhere else. Now, unfortunately, Amanda, I don't have a whole lot of things that I'm going to be leaving behind. But what I have will stay here, not taking it with me. I have been involved in and around the funeral home business for quite some time, and I'm doing a lot more work there now that I am retired. But I have yet to see a U-Haul being pulled by the hearse for them to take all their stuff with them. You ever seen that? Not going to happen. We're not going to take all of this with us. But we tend to think that we've done something great by obtaining all this stuff. Now, us men, I'll just pick on the guys because I are one. We all like big boy toys. We want, and I'm still searching and waiting. I'd love to have me a nice truck. Don't have one. But I want one. And if the opportunity comes around, probably going to have one. It won't be one of these new trucks. But I want a truck. A lot of guys want a boat. I don't really care too much about buying a boat or having a boat. But a lot of guys want a boat. A lot of guys love to play golf, so they'll go out and get this fancy set of golf clubs and a golf cart. My thing is, I like guns. I like to collect them. I like to have them. I like to shoot them. But you know what? All of those things, again, are going to be just left behind. But we tend to have this idea that I've done everything to gain all those things. We say, I've worked hard all my life to have what I want. I wonder if that's what we truly think. I would say today, but God, I love those words, man. But God has given us the talent, the abilities, the strength, and the help to have the things that we have. All good things come from Him, the God. I would say that truly, God doesn't even need our money. You hear me? Ceylon, don't worry. I'm going to back it up with, but it's what He has given us and the opportunity that He's given us to be able to be a blessing, to be able to reach a community, to be able to help the church. But God doesn't need our money. Man, He knows, He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And He also owns the hills. He has it all. God owns it all. Now, is it wrong then to possess things? I don't think there's anything wrong with possessing things as long as the things don't possess us. There's where the problem lies. And all we worry about is when I'm going to make my next $100 or $1,000 or $1,000,000. I don't know. But again, all of those things will pass away. We always say it like this, and we hear other people say it. Money is the root of all evil. I see head shaking. You believe that? Oh, but it's not necessarily, that's not biblical. You say, well, what are you talking about? I've heard that all my life. Money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Huh. So it's not just that money's the root of all evil, but it's where we have placed our love. And that's the love of money. I had a friend years ago that I worked with. Back then, this was a whole lot of money. She had won the lottery. And she won $250,000. Back then, that was a lot. That'd still be a lot to me. I don't know. But I run into her a few years later, and I said, well, how you doing with all that money? Is it gaining interest? And she looked at me like a deer in the headlights, and she said, are you kidding? I said, no, I'm not kidding. How's it going? You won $250,000. She said, I'm broke. Blew it all. You see all these like rock stars and country music singers and football players and baseball players, and they get all of this money. And then all of a sudden, they're not active anymore. They're not playing anymore. And all of a sudden, they have nothing. So why do we get so caught up in the things of this world? So this year, why don't we try getting things off on the right foot? Instead of getting so caught up in the things of the world. I know I shared this with you not too long ago, a couple weeks ago actually, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And I believe it's, let me see if I can find it. As Brother Snyder would say, if it's not there, it'd be a good place for it. I just don't find it. Chapter number 6. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first. I wonder what we really seek. What are we looking for? We have a brand new year ahead of us. I remember a few weeks ago I said, wonder how long it'll take us before we're actually writing down the right date. I've wrote the wrong date sometimes over the past few weeks. But I wonder, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. I don't have a lot to leave behind. I said that a minute ago. I went to a funeral a few weeks ago. I was working with the funeral home, and I sat in there, and I do most of the time. I like sitting there and hear what the minister has to say about the dearly departed loved one. He was a great friend to this man who has now left this world and gone on to glory. And he brought somewhat of a short message, of which I'm thankful. You go to a lot of funerals and they got 4, 5, 6 preachers and you think, oh me, this is going to make for a long day. I thought, well, he's the only one speaking. This is going to be okay. We're going to be out of here in a few minutes. At the end of his message, he said, now, Brother Joe, he had 5 grandkids. And each one of them, I asked them to write a little something down on a piece of paper that it might be shared today at his service. And I promise you, he went through and read every one of them, so it took a minute. But every grandchild said this: there's one thing I know for sure, and that is that Granddaddy loved God. And he taught us about God. And I remember seeing him stand in services and praise God. I've heard him sing all of the old hymns about how much he has a friend in Jesus. He turned the page over. I just want to share with you today that there's one thing I know for sure, and that is Pawpaw loved God. And he shared with me about the Savior. And I've seen him stand up in church services and just praise the Lord. And he turned the paper. And you get the idea. He went on and on. Hey, if I have anything that I want to leave behind to my kids and my grandkids, you hear me well this morning. I don't have a whole lot of things to leave behind. But if there's a man of God that can stand on that day, Brother Larry, and say, there's one thing I know for sure, is that my daddy loved God. And he brought me to church and taught me about God. I want him to say, I remember when I ran down and found my daddy in a Sunday school class or in children's church and fell on his knees and led me to Christ. I want y'all to hear my grandkids say, I know that Pawpaw loved God. And I want them to be able to say, he believed in that verse, Brother Ceylon, that said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things will be added unto you. That is the greatest thing that I could ever leave behind, is that he loved God. He loved us and he taught us to love God and to put the Lord first. I wonder things like this. I go to those funerals and I hear things like that, and I wonder, in this next coming year, I wonder if we won't find some opportunities not to worry so much about trying to give our kids and our grandkids money and things, but maybe if we could just give them some time. Maybe we could give them some love. Maybe we could give them some encouragement to be in the house of God and to worship the Lord together. That's what I think we need to leave behind. If you'll stand with me this morning. Brother Randy, if you're back there, if you'll just find us some little chorus. There you go. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, we've talked a little bit this morning about the fact that God owns it all.
just as I am.
Has there ever been a time that you asked Jesus to come into your heart and you know for sure that you belong to Him? That He owns you, so to speak. He's your Heavenly Father. If so, you should be so thankful this morning. But if not, and there's never been a time when you asked Jesus to save you, I want to ask you this morning, would you slip your hand up and say, Brother Allen, I just need you to pray for me. I want to know that when I leave this world, that my loved ones and my friends will know where I've gone to. If I don't wake up down here, I want them to know that I'm going to wake up over there. I've never accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I need you to pray for me. If you'll slip your hand up right back down, I wouldn't embarrass you for anything. In a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you want to come, you can even step out right now and you come down to an altar and pray and ask the Lord to do something in your life. Maybe you know that you're saved, but maybe you have settled in your heart like I have that I want to be what God would be pleased with to use this coming year. Lord, I just want to ask you and say, Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Maybe you just want to step out as well. And this morning I want to ask and I want to give you a special prayer request, church. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. I want to give you a special prayer request. And that is this. We need a pastor. And I believe that how we're going to find that pastor is because God's people join together in prayer and we seek God first in the matter. We need a pastor. We need a man of God to lead this church in the way that God would be pleased. Maybe you want to step out this morning and come and just ask the Lord to direct us, to lead us, to help us to search and to seek out God's man for Calvary Baptist Church. If you want to come, you can feel free to do so. Just come and say, Lord, we're just going to leave this all in your hands. But Lord, we need a pastor. Whatever reason that you come this morning, just cast all of your cares on the altar today. Ask the Lord to do something great. He's a great God. We've already heard that this morning. We know how good God is. But Lord, we need you to move in some areas here at this church. Lord, we thank you for the visitors that we have here this morning. Lord, it causes our hearts to feel good to know that someone has come and visited us. And they felt that this would be the place that you'd have for them to come and worship. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for it. And Lord, we want that more and more. Lord, we're asking you to help us to be a church that people would feel comfortable to come in and just to worship. Sing the old songs and, Lord, hear the Word of God preached and feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know what we need. Lord, we're not looking back anymore. We're looking forward to what you have in store for us. Lord, we pray now that you'd be with each one of these that have come this way, that kneel in this altar this morning. Again, Lord, we're thankful that we can bring our petitions to you. You know the needs that we have here at Calvary. Lord, we pray that you'd just be with each one of us and help us, Lord, that we would just, Lord, seek you and find you, Lord. Find your will. Find your man. Give us direction and guidance. And Lord, for all that you do, and for every prayer request that is answered this morning, Lord, we're going to go ahead and praise you and thank you in advance, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, thank you again for this service and the opportunity you've given us. Lord, we don't take it lightly. Lord, take it. Lord, may it be something that we might think on in the days to come and realize that you spoke to our hearts on this Sunday morning. Thank you for what you've done, for who you're going to touch, and for what you're going to do In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again so much for being here in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for your attention. Sometimes I think I should say thank you for putting up with me. But I do thank you for the opportunity you've given me. And I don't take it lightly. And I appreciate every opportunity, Brother Ceylon. I love you. Love this church. And we just need love on one another. Amen. Lift up one another in prayer. Ask God to do some great things. Do you believe He wants to? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He does. So if you'll turn around and shake hands with a few folks, tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. Be back at 5 o'clock this evening, and you're dismissed. Thank you.